The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
Did anyone ever come to you and say, "Don't tell anyone this, but"? If anyone comes to you and says, "Don't tell anyone this, but," don't listen to them, because somebody's going to run and tell somebody that secret very quickly. We have invested some time on Sunday mornings speaking about living the new life, really. When you come to Christ, when you become a Christian, a Christ follower, how do we live that life? How does that life unfold? And I heard some of you say earlier in the service, you came to Christ in the 80s or 2000 or whatever. And it's one thing to come to the Lord, but then it's another thing to be able to know how to live this new life. So the Apostle Paul, when he was under house arrest in Rome, he wrote some letters. Paul always wanted to go to Rome. Year after year, his aspiration was to go to Rome. And it's interesting, finally he got to go to that really world city back then. And he was escorted by soldiers, Roman soldiers. So they surrounded him and they traveled, it would be by horses, and they walk, and then they get on a boat, different ways. And finally with this entourage, isn't it lovely to have an entourage when you take a trip? Well, that's what he had. He didn't have the one he thought. They were soldiers. And they arrived in Rome and they put him under house arrest. So in effect, he was in prison, but not a dungeon prison. He was in house arrest. So he had some freedom, especially freedom for people to visit him. And so they would come and he'd talk to them and they'd tell him some things that they've discovered. And so he, during that period of time, he wrote some letters. And one of the letters was Ephesians and the other was Colossians. And we've been investing some time in that letter that he wrote, the book of Colossians, because he heard of things happening in the city of Colossae, and some of it he wanted to write them just to say hello, because he had never seen them, he had never visited them. So some things he just wanted to say hello, but there were some things happening in Colossae that he was concerned about. So he wrote them some things that were on his heart, and we have it today in the Bible. And he talks about a secret, one that was an amazing secret. Watch what the Scripture says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26. As he writes this book of to the Colossae church, he said, "This message was kept," what's the word? Say it, you can talk. "This message was kept" what? "Secret" for how long? "For centuries and generations." It's quite an amazing thing to keep a secret for that long. Some of us can hardly keep it till we meet the next person. But he said, there's been a secret kept for generations, for centuries. And what is the secret? Watch what he says. "But now it has been revealed." Here it is. "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles also." Let me just pause for a moment. He's writing this letter, and he sends it off by Tychicus, is the guy who is the one who carries the letter. And he sends it off, and he writes in the letter, "There's a secret that's been ongoing for a long, long time, but now you may know the secret." And the secret has, he says right quickly, has something to do with not only the Jewish people, but you who are Gentiles. You see the word Gentiles there? Because he says there's something in the past that reminds us that in order to be right with God, you had to have some connection with the Jewish people. Remember on the mount of the mountain in the wilderness, Mount Sinai, God gave the 10 what? Commandments, predominantly to the Jewish people. Remember, Abraham was the father of the Jewish people. So much of the Old Testament kind of focuses in on that people. By the way, Jesus was a Jew. He still is a Jew in heaven today. We owe so much to them. We owe the commandments to them that God gave. We owe the Mount Sinai commandments. We owe the covenant that God... We owe so much to the Jewish people. Yet the secret is now out, that God is much broader than one ethnic race. And God is going to wrap his arms around all of the world, for God so loved the what? So loved the world. So he says something, and I think it's beautiful. He says, God wanted them to know, the Jewish people to know, that's the them. God wanted the Jewish people to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you what? Gentiles. It's becoming a big house. It's becoming an expansive opportunity. Let me ask this question. How many Gentiles do we have here today? Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. How many don't know what you are? Raise your hand. Okay. Most of us, I think, today, maybe there's some Jewish people among us. I have some Jewish friends. But most of us here today are Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul is writing, because in every city in those days there were Jewish people, but he's writing and saying, God is doing in this day an unusual work, not only for the Jewish people, but for what? For all peoples, because the Gentile means all nations, all peoples. And here's the secret that is now out. Look what it says here. And this is the secret. And here's the words, four words. Christ lives in you. Not just in the Jewish people who believed the promises and commandments and truth of God, but even Gentiles that know Christ. Christ lives in... I want us to say those four words together. Ready? Christ lives in you. Have you ever thought of that? Now, 2 weeks ago, you remember the sermon completely, right? Right? No, I forget most of us, so relax. Relax, and I gave it out. But a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this really first step in the Christian journey. Because the apostle says, as you have accepted Christ Jesus the Lord. Remember, as you have accepted Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to follow him. You see, living the new life is not just becoming a Christian, but it's living the Christian life. It's not just believing in Jesus, and now I'm saved and going to heaven and not going to hell, you know. Whew, that's a relief. Now what else will I do? No, coming to Christ and accepting Christ is also learning to follow him and have our roots deep in some realities. Here's the reality. Remember, if we're not going to produce fruit, if we're going to produce fruit and leaves and what's above ground, we need to go deep underground. It's been beautiful this week, hasn't it? With the warmth, and I'm pleasantly surprised, the warmth. I've been here almost a month now. And the leaves are coming out, and looking on the escarpment that runs along this river, and the leaves this time of year are beautiful. They're almost fluorescent, aren't they? And just to see, you see, for us to see the beauty of the leaves, and if it's a garden, the beauty of what's going to be produced, the roots have to go down deep. So Paul writes to the church at Colossae and says, here's how you are to follow Jesus. Not only accept him, but here's how you are to follow him. And he said this, we are to be rooted in the good news. In other words, we must be very sure and solid in the message that God gives not only to the Jewish people, but gives to all of the Gentiles, you and I. And what is the message that we need to be rooted deep in? It is this. Christ died for our what? Sins. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Christ died for your sins? I do. You see, that's the bad news, my sins. But the good news is that Christ shed his blood on the cross that we might be forgiven people, that our sins might be remitted. Not only did Christ die for our sins, but on the third day he rose. Do you believe today that Jesus is alive? Amen. I believe he is alive. Otherwise, why would we follow a dead Christ? Why would we follow somebody when his bones are still in the grave? But they're not. He's a risen Savior. So the Apostle Paul says, now be sure you are settled in the crucifixion, resurrection reality. He took my place on the cross, and he proved that the cross is sufficient by his resurrection. So we are solid in that, right? And we are rooted in that. But he says also in the book of Colossians, he says we're not only rooted in the good news, but we are rooted in him. It's not only the message of Jesus that we need to be sure of, but we need to be sure of what about Jesus? Who is he? And how does he affect me day after day? So the Apostle Paul says there's a secret. And here's the secret. Christians, listen carefully today. Christ lives in me. Just breathe for a minute. Take a deep breath and think. Christ lives in me. It didn't used to always be that way. You see, before Jesus Christ came to this earth, he didn't live in people. And I want to think through, what does this mean that he lives in us today? I've been looking around to see what kind of trees you have here. We've been walking, my wife and I, some of the trails and seeing the beauty of this place. Now, apparently you don't have this tree I want to talk about. But you notice this seed, it's called an acorn. What does an acorn produce? What tree is that? The oak tree. I might plant one and see if it'll survive. You probably want maybe too cold in the winter time. But an oak tree is a beautiful tree. It comes up as the seedling comes up, and it's got these beautiful leaves. An oak tree takes a long time to grow. It's slow growing, which even encourages me a bit as a Christian. And what my brother who talked about the missions trip, God's not finished with us yet, is he? And some of us have been on the journey quite a while. It says an oak tree grows slowly, but it's a strong, deeply rooted tree. It takes a lot to uproot it. And it produces these beautiful leaves. I'm going to plant one because it has red leaves. They tell me here the leaves in the fall are yellow or gold. So if you notice one red oak tree a little later on, I planted it. And I put a tent over it in the winter. You know, I'm going to protect it. So we have one red tree in town. But in order, you see, for this oak tree or any tree, the seed has to be buried to produce the tree. I don't care what kind it is. Just think for a moment. In order for us to be able to produce the fruit that God would have in our lives, we're going to have to die to self. We're going to have to be buried, you see. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? If we die to self, we shall live. But if we protect our lives, we shall die, you see. Now, it's interesting when I think about this acorn. Look what the Apostle Paul says concerning this secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. As you read through the book of Colossians, you will notice that this matter of Christ lives in me, sometimes it's hard to grasp, but it's a powerful truth. Colossians chapter 2 says, listen carefully, please. Colossians chapter 2 says, all of the fullness lives in Christ. All the fullness of God. Think it over now. All of the fullness of God lives in Christ. That's quite a thing, isn't it? That all of the fullness of God lives in him. But then this next truth is amazing. All the fullness of God lives in Christ. And Christ lives in what? In me. Now, question. If all of the fullness of God lives in Christ, and the secret that is now a secret no longer, Christ lives in me, it means that all of the fullness of God lives in what? In me. Do you have it? You know what we're saying here? Colossians 2, all of the fullness of God is Christ in Christ. And Colossians 1 says, Christ lives what? In me. I meet a number of believers. I think I understand what they are saying, but I'm not sure I get it. Because I meet quite a lot of believers who are constantly asking for more of God. Like, I need more of you, God. I need more of you. You know what I'm saying? And I think I understand that they want a more intimate walk with God. However, I don't quite get it, because when people ask, more of God, more of God, you know what I think? All of the fullness is in Christ. And Christ lives what? In me. I do not need more of God. I have all of God because Christ lives where? In me, and the fullness of God is in Christ. Just think that. It's very reassuring. You see, the reality is we don't need more of God. He lives within us today. The reality is he needs more of what? Of us. Now, that's quite a difference. All of the fullness of God is in Christ, and Christ what? Lives in me. Now, what does it mean that Christ lives in me? Well, we need to think about who Jesus is and get rooted in him. And here's one aspect of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 says here, Christ is the visible image of the invisible, what's it say? God. Sometimes I say it this way. I don't want to be sacrilegious, but sometimes I say it this way. Christ is God with skin on. It's like a little boy kept wondering, where is God? Where is God? Because we can't see God. But when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and watch how Jesus responded to people and what Jesus taught, Jesus really, God with skin on. So when I get to know him through reading his word and interacting with him, then I get to know God. And the scripture says here concerning the person of Jesus, he is the visible that makes visible the invisible. He's the exact representation of God. You know, I'm sure you believe this, but just in case somebody doesn't, or we need a reminder, Jesus is not only a human, he's also God. Do you believe that? That he's not only human, he's also divine in the deepest sense of that word, divine. You know the scripture, don't you? John chapter 1, the Word, and that means Jesus, the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. And John chapter 1 and verse 14 says concerning the Word, he not only dwelt among us, but it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. That's John 1. You believe that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and here we have it ready. One whole organization changed this because they didn't like it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word, what? Was God. Just think about that for a moment. Jesus is not only that ideal, perfect, sinless human being, but he's also God in the what? God in the flesh. Now, that's quite amazing. We need to sink into that today. Our roots into it, of the person of Jesus Christ. And by his Spirit, he lives in me. In the Old Testament days, the Holy Spirit of God used to come on people and then he would leave. Anybody listening to me today, raise your right hand. Anyone opposed? Only one opposition, that's good. In the Old Testament, remember Samson, almost as strong as your pastor? Remember him? Samson, you see, he would do these amazing feats, like grab the whole gate. They tried to keep him in, you know, get him behind that gate or keep him out of our city, and he just went up. The Bible says the Spirit of God came upon Samson. I don't know if God talks like that. It might be the Spirit of God came. I don't know what God sounds like. We might be surprised one day. He might have a high pitch. Oh, no, okay, we won't get into that. But there was a gate, you see. There was a gate to try to, I think, keep him in or out. I forget what it was. You study and get back to me to try to keep him in or out. But instead of Samson worrying about that gate opening or closing, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he grabbed the gate, and he just ripped the gate. Not only did the gate break loose, but all of the, you know, the posts around the gate broke loose. He just left a hole there. Well, the Spirit of God came upon him. In the Old Testament days, whether it was people like Samson or prophets or some preachers, the Spirit used to come and then he would go. He would come and he would go. But it is different today. There's a secret out now. Not like it used to be. Remember, Jesus was teaching in the upper room before he died on the cross. Remember? And in the upper room, John 14, 15, and 16, the disciples were very distraught because Jesus said, I'm leaving. I'm going. And they said, oh, don't go. Don't leave us. Don't leave us. And Jesus said, if I don't leave you and go back to heaven, I cannot send who? The Holy Spirit. I must leave in order to send him. And there's a beautiful truth, which is this Christ lives in you truth. Jesus said, when I go back to heaven, I will send another paraclete, another comforter, another person just like me. And then Jesus said this, when I send the Holy Spirit, he will not only be with you, but he shall live what? In you. That is different than the centuries and generations previous. Spirit used to come and go, but it's going to be different now. I will send the Spirit. He will not only be with you, but he shall live what? In you. Then the next thing Jesus said, forever. Oh, I love that. There's security in it. There's stability in it. Because he will not only live in you, but he'll live in you how long? Forever, through all of the ups and downs of life and beyond death into eternity. Once he comes to live within you, he will never what? He will never leave you. And I believe that's what he's telling us here. Christians, you came to know the Lord? That day or moment, most of us remember the exact time that we came to Christ, the Spirit of God came to live in us. And for how long? Forever. So we have the person of Christ by the Holy Spirit living in us. Beautiful reality. There's a song we sing sometimes. And it's a nice song. But there's a part of it I struggle a bit with because it's one of the Old Testament Psalms. I think it's 51, but I'll have to check. And part of the song written out of the Psalms says, take not your Holy Spirit, what? From me. And it's a nice song. But you know, that's Old Testament days. That's the generations past. That is not since Christ died and resurrected and the Holy Spirit came to live within us. Because we have the promise now that the Holy Spirit will what? Will never be taken from us. Beautiful truth. Assuring truth, no matter what we face this week. So we have this truth. The person of Christ by the Holy Spirit lives within us. Not only that, but this encourages me today. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. We not only have Christ in his person by the Spirit living in us, but we have, because we have Christ in us, we have a sense of authority. Let me just read it to you. Concerning Jesus, he made the things we can see. Believe that? That Jesus made the things we see? I do. He made the things we see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and what? And for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all things together. Now that's authority, isn't it? I don't know what you're facing today, but sometimes we, instead of living the Christian life and living an exemplary life, you understand? Sometimes we excuse what we're doing. Sometimes we say, well, that's how I was raised. So it can't be different. Let me say this. If Jesus lives in you, it can be different. Sometimes we say, well, that's just me. You'll have to live with it. Well, that's unfortunate because we have Christ, what? Living in us, in his power, his authority to overcome, to become new in Christ, to experience Christian fulfillment and development in Christ. because of his authority. I think sometimes it's time that we're just saying, well, I can't be that, instead of saying, Lord, you live in me in your power, your authority. Surely, as I surrender to you, as I'm planted like a seed into the ground, you can produce a new life for me, a different life for me. This also encourages me. Not only does his person live in me, not only is he this great powerful person who resides within me, this other encourages me also day by day. Here it is. Colossians 2 and verse 3. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ lies all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When Paul wrote to that church, he was concerned because there were infiltrators coming into the church saying, you have Jesus, but you need a better philosophy. In other words, it's good to know him, but I'll tell you what you really need. And they were coming up with some, they thought it was wise theories and hypotheses. But the Apostle Paul writing, he's saying this, you have Jesus living in you. And in him, in Christ, dwells all the treasures of wisdom and what? Knowledge. The most intelligent person on earth just knows a little of a little. There's some brilliant people on earth, right? But even the most knowledgeable people on earth, they just know a little of all that there is to know. And it says concerning Jesus, in him lives all the treasures of wisdom and what? Knowledge. Oh, no wonder Peter said to Jesus one day, you know Peter, the guy who jumps out of the boat every now and then? Peter said to Jesus one day, Lord, you know all things. You know everything. So Peter just stopped talking. Couldn't win an argument anyway, but he just stopped talking and said, Lord, you know what? You know all things. Now listen. There's somebody who's living in you today who knows everything about everything. Are you seeking a solution today? Are you confused about something in your life? Sink your roots deep in who? In Jesus Christ. Ask him for clarity. Ask him for wisdom because he knows the direction that we ought to take. So here we have the Lord, his person. Here we have the Lord, his power. Here we have the Lord, his perception, his knowledge. And then I'm especially encouraged today by this particular story in the Old Testament. King Solomon. Scripture says he at the time was the wisest man living on earth other than Jesus who was to come. Remember the story, there's two women had little babies. And while they were sleeping, one little baby died. Remember that story? One lady's little baby died, and the other lady, the little baby was living. And during the night, the mother of the dead baby took the baby who had died and just sneaked over and laid the baby who had died beside this mother and took the living baby and went over. You see what I'm saying? There was a swap in the night. And when the mother of the living child woke up and saw this child, she realized the baby has died, but that's not my baby. That's not my baby. So this other woman, she kept swearing, this living one is mine. This living one is mine. So it ended up they brought the two mothers and the two children, one dead and one living, to Solomon. And they told their story, and the women were arguing back and forth. And Solomon said just a simple little thing. He said, well, in order to stop this argument as to who is the mother of the living and who is the mother of the dead baby, King Solomon told one of his soldiers, kill the living child. Be done with the two of them. And as soon as Solomon said, take the life of the living child, you know what the real mama said? The real mother said, give the living child to that woman. Because the mother loves this child and knows this child. And she would sooner have this other mother raise that child then the child's life be taken. That's the heart of the mother. Don't you agree? And you know what King Solomon said? That's the real mother. That's the real one. And said, take that child and give it to the real. The wisdom of Solomon is renowned in the scripture. And I'm here to say this. Dr. Luke in chapter 11 of Luke. Dr. Luke said, there's somebody more wise than even Solomon, and his name is who? His name is Jesus. What's the message today? The message is this. We are like that acorn. We're like that seed. And in us lives Jesus Christ. And all the fullness of God lives in Christ. So we have a tremendous resource, person living within us, to live the life that God would have us to live. No excuses. Great authority. His person and his wisdom. And then I conclude with this, like the book of Colossians. Not only is the one who lives in us God in the flesh, not only is the one who lives in us of great authority and power, not only is the one who lives in us extremely wise, all wise, but the one who lives in us is the forgiver of our sins. He says it this way in the book of Colossians. He says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of what? The kingdom of light. That's quite a thing to be taken out of darkness into what? Light. It's just like a dark fortress into a fortress of light. Aren't you happy today that the one who lives in us is not only the mighty God, the person with all authority, the wisest of anyone, but he's the forgiver of our sins. We may relish his indwelling presence. He knows us. He loves us. And even when we go astray, he won't leave us. He's the forgiver of our sins.